Sorry, everybody. Just sorting out Pathfinders. Now I'm getting my reading glasses on. So, the page number in your service sheet is nearly right. It's 100 out. Oh, it's right up there. Great. So, we are just going to read that from that letter that Paul wrote to that church in Philippi that Dave was just telling us about. So, it's Philippians chapter 1. Verses 1 to 8, and we are on page 1178. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. We all there. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Katie. And as we go through Philippians, I'm going to provide a handout for everyone. So let me know if that's being useful to you or not, but it kind of guides you through what we're going to be saying. And my prayer is that you take it away and you can use it through the week to reflect again, reread the passage and think about it more. Pathfinders, you've got a bonus one with extra gaps if you want to scribble more things and have extra questions down. But that's the idea, that we have a sheet, that we come to God's word, that we've all got our Bibles open before us, and we're coming to it together. Let's pray for God's help. Father God, we do thank you that you do speak to us. We thank you for the Bible, a wonderful gift to us. Help us to hear what it was that Paul was saying to the Philippians, and therefore to understand more of what you are saying to us today. Amen. Amen. Philippians is a letter. There are letters in the Bible, so it's sent from one person to another. So we understand it in a particular context. Paul is writing it. We'll look at the whole letter over the next kind of 9-10 weeks or so, but each week we'll look at a few verses together. But just this morning I thought it would help to get a little bit of a handle on Philippians, what it is. So it's a letter to the Christians in Philippi. Philippi was a city. So Christians meeting together, so it could be written to the Christians in White Waltham, and that would be us, and we would read this letter together. But this is written to the Christians gathered in Philippi. It was a church that Paul loved. This is a joyful thank you letter, and we should be feeling joy lots of times through as we go through. It's to a church that he had planted, and that was why we had that Acts reading earlier. So there's Lydia, the picture, there's the slave girl, there's the jailer. And the jailer and his whole family are baptized, which gives us the idea of kind of families coming together, hearing God's word together, celebrating being Christians together. It's a letter to people Paul knows. He has a relationship with them. Later on, he'll thank them for a present of money that they gave them through someone called Epaphroditus. And they'd stayed involved with him and encouraged him with their love. It's a letter to the church in Philippians, and it's a letter from Paul. Paul's there, but he's there behind bars because we happen to know that he was in prison. He is writing this letter from prison in Rome. Now, first of all, what do we know about Paul? Well, we know he's an apostle. He was sent by God. He was called specifically by Jesus to go and proclaim the good news to the Gentiles. You, me. So we listen when Paul speaks, and we listen for what God is speaking through him. He has great authority. But he's there in prison. If you look down through, if you're a very quick scanner, you'll see at the end of our reading, 1 verse 7, he talks about being in chains. He talks about that again in verse 13 of chapter 1. In chains. Towards the end of the letter, he talks about being in Rome, in Caesar's household. And we know that at the end of Acts, when we've had lots of Paul's journeys, he ends up there in Rome. And actually, it's worse than that. It might end badly. In chapter 2, he says, well, whether I live or die, whether I know freedom or whether I get executed, this is a very iffy situation. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And despite this, we see in this letter Paul's concern for those he's writing to. He knows that they're thinking of him in prison and worrying, so he wants to reassure them. He knows they're thinking of Epaphroditus, that guy who brought their present. They know he's ill, so he wants to bring them some good news about that. And he wants them to keep going as Christians. He knows there's some disagreements. There's been some kind of difficult false teaching, but they are mostly doing well, and he wants them to press on. So it's a letter. It's a letter from Paul in prison to the Christians gathered in Philippi. And it's a letter with some big themes. And this is the triangle of joy, which I've adapted from somewhere, from various places. And you'll see various words in there. You'll see it in the bottom right corner of all the slides to remind us. Paul rejoices in the good news that he believes in Jesus. So that's the gospel, and that draws him close to his Lord. He rejoices in the good news that the Philippians believe, and that brings them close to their Lord Jesus. And can you see, as they move closer to Jesus, as they learn more about him, they're drawn closer to each other. And he rejoices in partnership. He uses a Greek word, koinonia, which you don't need to know, but it's a nice word to trip off the tongue. But partnership is this really key thing that he feels that Christians should know with each other. Partnership together. Not just friendship or getting along, but actual partnership. And all of these things brings great joy. So even in this tiny passage that we're looking at, if you have it open there, look it down. You'll see the word gospel in verse 5 and verse 7. You'll see partnership in verse 5. And verse 7 talks about kind of being together, receiving grace together. And you'll see joy, rejoicing in verse 4. The triangle of joy at work. Well, there you go. So that's the letter. So let's get into our little bit of the letter for this morning. And first of all, I want you to ask yourselves a question. How would you describe yourself? If someone said, hello, who are you? After you say your name, what would you say to describe yourself? Maybe if it helps, ask the person next to you, or just take a moment to think in yourself, what sorts of things would you say about yourself? Would it be maybe your year at school or your job? Would it be your family relationships, brother, sister, son, daughter, father, all those sorts of things? Where you live, where you're headed in life? What sorts of things would you say? Have a little think. Okay, we won't spend too long on that. Hopefully you came up with a few things. Well, Paul is going to describe Christians in Philippi. And as he does it, he's going to help us to know who we are and how we can be. Who we are and how we can be as Christians ourselves. And the first things he talks about is sort of the status of a Christian. It's really kind of who you are as a Christian. It's there in verses 1 and 2. And it has a number of prepositions. If you're studying English or you're an ex-English teacher, you'll know about prepositions. They show direction, time, place. I'm always worried about Anne being in congregation just there. But I look these up. I'm pretty sure they're prepositions. They are of, in, and from. They're all there in the first two verses. And Paul uses them to show who we are. And the first thing he says is, you are a follower of Christ Jesus. In fact, he describes himself as a servant of Christ Jesus. And it's Paul and Timothy, so we broaden it out to Christians generally. We're servants or slaves of Christ Jesus. It's the same word slave used later on in chapter 2 when you have that wonderful passage about Jesus, who was the servant of all people. He's the picture of humble, obedient service. And we are to be servants of God, to depend on him, to seek to do his will. As Christians, Jesus is our Lord. And we follow him and obey him. And this will mean that we will serve him. We will put him first. So think about what that might mean. There are decisions every day in how we behave and what we're going to get up to with people, with our things, in what we choose to do. And every time we choose, as Christians, we're seeking not to do necessarily what we want or what the world around us says we should do, but what Jesus asks. He is our Lord to serve. This might be difficult. It might mean that we stand out and make different choices to those around us. But you get to be a servant of the Lord Jesus, and he will do good to you, and he will do good through you. So that's our first preposition of, you are a follower, a servant of Christ Jesus. You have a Lord to serve. The second one in that next little bit, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Christians are in some way in Christ Jesus. This is all God's holy people, or saints, you might sometimes remember that word. It's a description of Christians, defined as in Christ Jesus. And it happens 20 times in this letter. You are identified with Christ Jesus so closely. He includes the leaders of the church, the overseers and deacons. Later on, we're going to talk about maybe differences amongst the leadership. But it means that the whole church is addressed. You, me, every Christian is described as so closely associated with Jesus that it's as if when someone looks at you, they see Jesus. Someone looks at you, they'll see Jesus because you are in Christ Jesus and you're reflecting something of his character. Christians are God's holy people in Christ Jesus. Holy people belonging to God, called to live holy lives. And again, that'll come on later in the letter. Let me give you a couple of examples. Later in this chapter, it says, Paul says, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You're to be holy, to show something of God in the world. Or in chapter 2, it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars. You are to be different. You are in Christ Jesus, our lives lived, identified with him and being holy. You are in Christ Jesus. You have a secure and close relationship to live in. And the third preposition, from, you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These words are both explored later on as we get through the letter. You might know grace, really, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's God doing things for the world, God's activity in and to his world. And as he does that, and as we receive that, we experience peace. Peace with each other and peace with God. Do you remember the angels at Christmas? What's the good news that they declare? Peace on earth. Great favor to men on whom his favor rests, and peace on earth. God acts so that we might know peace with each other and peace with God. So that's grace and peace. Great signs of the Christian life. Experiencing God doing and experiencing God in our lives. You receive from the Lord Jesus Christ grace and peace. So let's pause a moment to apply this to ourselves. I wonder which one of those maybe you particularly need to be reminded of this morning. Who you are as a Christian. Is it being a follower of Christ? Or is it that you are closely associated and holy in Christ? Or is it all the good things that you receive from Christ? Well, I think sometimes it helps to think about things using questions. So I wonder, are you someone who likes to do decision-making on your own? I'm going to choose what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to make up my own mind. Well, here we hear, that's not quite right, is it? You are a follower of Christ Jesus, a servant of Lord Jesus. You have a Lord to serve. Jesus is that model, obedience. He says, not my will, but yours be done. Can we serve like him? And do you know yourself to be a servant of Jesus? I live to serve Jesus. What is the definition of me? Hi, I'm Dave. I'm a servant of Jesus. Includes the leaders, the PCC and other leaders that we'll talk about later in our service. Includes all of the congregation. Servants of Jesus. Living alongside each other to live for him. Well, the next question might be, do you think you were saved, you've had a salvation, that's done, you've become a Christian, and now you're on your own? Well, no, we're reminded here, you've got a relationship to live in. You are in Christ Jesus. You are set apart from other people. You're different. You're holy. You're identified with Christ to be holy with God's help. You are in. Think of a rescue. Lots of different people being rescued from the sea. Some might be rescued by those rings that you throw and you pull. Some might have kind of the boat that comes alongside. Some might have the person with the swimmy thing and the float to drag them in. But we're all rescued into this one ship, this one place with God. So wherever you are, geographically, physically, in your relationships, God has placed you there, but you are in Christ Jesus together, united to him forever, in a secure and close relationship. The last question might be, do you think you can achieve God's things on your own? And the reminder is no, you need to receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't get satisfied by what I can do, but what God can do through me. And it's a great answer to any kind of problems that we might have with each other, because it's a reminder of humility. We're not in competition. We can't be in competition because we all needed God's rescue. We all need God's help. From Jesus, we all need to freely receive grace. We need to freely receive peace. So that's who we are, followers of Jesus, in Christ Jesus, receiving from the Lord Jesus. But how should it feel as we are these things? What does it look like? So I've called the thing, next thing, spirituality of a Christian. That's kind of how it feels or how it is to be these things. Paul is particularly thinking about how he prays. Next week we'll get on to what he prays. But this week in verse 3 to 8, we're going to see how he prays. And he prays with joyful thankfulness to God. I wonder, what is your usual prayer for a friend? Might pray that they're successful. Might pray they get better from that cold. Do we pray with joyful thankfulness? Listen to Paul again. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. When I think of you, my Christian friend, I have joyful thankfulness to God. Do we give thanks to God for our Christian friends? Do we give thanks to God for our Christian friends as partners, sisters and brothers in Christ, sharing with us in faith, doing what God wants with us? Did you hear all joyful thankfulness in all prayers, always, in every situation? There's great joy to be had as we think of our Christian brothers and sisters. Thanksgiving and prayer filled with joy because of that partnership. That partnership in the gospel, doing alongside, not just sitting next to each other in a pew, but doing God's will together as a church, like a team working together, partnering together, sharing with each other materially, proclaiming and living it ourselves. We pray with joyful thanks. We live our Christian lives with joyful thanks for each other to God. We pray with complete confidence in God. Paul says, not just from the first day till now, but until the end, until the day of Christ Jesus. Trusting in the sovereignty of God. God is in control. What God starts, he continues, and he will finish. He will hold on to you. He will hold on to you for always. It's a great assurance. But notice, nonetheless, Paul continues to write, because he knows we need to keep going. Later on, he'll say, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, how much more in my absence continue to work out your salvation? He's saying, keep going. I have complete confidence in God. I pray to him, you need to keep going, and God will continue to do his work. So be joyfully thankful, have complete confidence in God, and have deep affection for other Christians. Paul prays with deep affection for other Christians. He will write about having kind of the right mindset about things a number of times through this letter. And here he says, I feel rightly, I think rightly, I have the right mindset because I hold you, my Christian friends, deep in my heart. You've been sharing with me. I love you. I love your encouragement. Now I'm imprisoned. You're still there with me spiritually alongside me. I yearn for you. I long for you. There's a deep affection throughout this letter. Do we have that deep affection for each other? Joyful thanks, confidence in God, deep affection for each other. So let's pause again and think, how do we apply this to ourselves? Do you feel these things? Do you feel joyfully thankful to God for your Christian family? Confident in God for yourself or for others? Affectionate to your gospel partners? Love Jesus and love these that he's put you with. We're all involved in care for each other, and we pray with joyful thanks for each other. We have confidence for each other, and we love each other with God's love, knowing that what he has begun, he will continue for his glory. This is good news that Jesus loves us, and it's good news that we can rejoice in it with and for each other. But is this how we pray? Is this how we feel about each other? There's some questions there on the end of your sheets. We won't do them now, but they may be a great starting point to think about through this week. What do I think about being a follower of Christ, in Christ, receiving from Christ? And how am I praying? Maybe I can put a few different lines into my prayer life. We finish back with a triangle of joy. The gospel, the partnership, our love for Jesus, our love for each other, and the wonderful joy that pours out of that. I hope this is true of you. I'm sure it is. When I hear stories of received and shared grace and peace, when I hear stories of what God has done in people's lives, or see evidence of it in how they're changing, it does make me give joyful thanks to God. We had a baptism of just a few weeks ago. We hear testimony sometimes from the front of church. It's wonderful to hear of what God's doing, and it gives us great joy. Love for God, love for them with God's love, and a love for their love of God. Joy in all of those things. So there's some questions maybe to ponder through the week. What does it mean to you to be these things? And when do you feel these things? And are these feelings in your prayers? I'm going to pray now and hand back to Carol. Father God, we thank you again for this letter. We thank you for these wonderful truths about who we are and how we can be. Give us time, maybe today or through the week, to ponder more on these truths, these wonderful truths. May it give us great confidence. May it give us great love for you and for each other. And may we know deep joy in all of these things. Amen.